Welcome, everybody, to episode 46 of the Pixel Power Podcast. I am your host, Steven, and this is, again, episode 46. And today, we are going to talk about something that many people are probably not even aware they use, and those are progressive web apps, or sometimes referred to as PWAs. And I will probably switch between PWA and progressive web app all throughout the episode, so please bear with me. Before we get started in this episode, though, we do have a couple of items of feedback that I want to share from the last episode, although I believe one of these pieces of feedback is from a previous episode, and that is Rick, who asked if I could crank up the volume on the podcast. I hope I have done that, Rick. Hopefully it's better than the last one that you responded to let me know that I needed to crank that up a little bit. See, Rick's in a really good position. He has a Jeep that he likes to have the top down, and he is driving around and, believe it or not, would like for the Pixel Power Podcast to be blaring out of the Jeep. So thanks for that, Rick. And again, let me know if this is better. Also, Redditor Tex Biker shared on the Reddit page that he is using it for his COVID-19 kind of therapy. He's using Zwift for indoor biking. You know, I had a chance to check this out. If you've not checked it out, you should do this. Zwift is a way that you can have a bicycle, an indoor bicycle, and then take that bike ride around various places in the United States, but also take a bike ride with people. It's the perfect solution for bikers in a COVID-19 situation who don't want to go outside. So be sure and check that out. Check out Tex Biker over on Reddit. And I believe if you look on the Reddit, the subreddit for the Pixel Power Podcast, you can find that easily. I do have a link in the show notes for his comments. The other thing that Tex Biker had that he shared with me was that he is the new recipient, or he is the recipient of a new Samsung Galaxy Chromebook. And so I was really curious about that and asked him about his experiences. So if you are interested in his experience with the Samsung Galaxy Chromebook, be sure to check out the link that I have in the show notes. I was curious because I wondered if his experience was as good as it was on the Pixelbook, which he was a previous owner of. So be sure and check that out if you have interest in the Samsung Galaxy Chromebook. All right, let's go ahead and talk about progressive web apps. Now, let's start with a little bit of history about progressive web apps and what they are and where they came from. But a little bit of history first. Do you remember back in June 29th, 2007? Gosh, has it been that long? Steve Jobs released the very first iPhone. I don't know if you remember that date. I do. I was there. I was ready to purchase the next day. I wouldn't say I stood in line, but I had my hands on one the next day. But one of the things that made this device very interesting in its time was it had a built-in browser. And at that time, Steve Jobs said that all applications would be mobile browser based. He said that if you wanted Twitter, you would just pull it up on the Safari, built-in Safari browser, and that would provide the application for you, and that we would all use web-based applications. The problem is the hardware, the web, and the mobile networks were not ready for that. So they had to back up, regroup, and then they decided to create an app store, which turned out to be a big barn burner for them. They made $1 billion with an app store. And whether that was in the plan originally or not, it was something that really worked for them. But it was probably a little bit out of necessity as well, because again, the hardware of that iPhone, the mobile networks, they just weren't ready for us to be online and websites as our applications on the go. Think of progressive web apps as that next phase of mobile browsing in the on our mobile devices. It's kind of an amalgam of mobile and web apps kind of shoved together that you can access outside of a curated store. And they tend to be platform agnostic, meaning that they can run on many devices without modification. For instance, you can run the same progressive web app on a Chrome OS device that you can an Android device, that you can on a Mac, that you can on Linux, and I assume Windows. Again, I'm not a Windows user, but I assume Windows as well. They're available, again, on both mobile and desktop, and that's what makes them such a unique application, that they're just available anywhere, and they kind of bring the experience, that same experience, to all those devices. Well, I will tell you, I've been using them on my Pixelbook, and more I've been installing these progressive web apps to provide even more functionality on my Pixelbook. Now, Google released the specifications for progressive web applications back in 2015. So they've been around for about 5 years. And the web pages are built on common web technologies such as HTML, CSS, and JavaScript. Through the use of those technologies, they create these progressive web applications. Now, what's also nice about them is they continue to progress to a point where they start to understand which device they're being installed on, specifically what devices are being installed on, and can now even start to provide additional features specific that to that device or that form factor. So it's really interesting to watch how these progressive web apps are continuing to build. You know, in the beginning, web apps required internet connectivity and were just simply a bookmarked website. Now, PWAs, we have more sophisticated applications or, you know, might even call them a micro application. And so what they do is they install just enough on the phone or the Chrome OS device so that they can connect to that backend data or service on the web. And then the other wonderful thing about them is they can update themselves without need or intervention from us for like the app store. We just visit the site, we load up the progressive web app, and if there's an update, it just automatically gets updated through the interface. Over time, PWAs have become more capable and they're even faster in many cases than their mobile application counterparts. And we're seeing data on that online. If you do a search about progressive web apps, you'll find that many people are touting the speed of these applications over their mobile counterparts. And the number of PWAs is growing. While I was researching this episode, I was really surprised at how broad and how many PWAs are now available. And that's why I decided to put this episode together for you. Now, because they primarily live online, PWAs are always up to date, again, as I mentioned, with features. They also always contain the latest security updates. And in some cases, they can conserve data versus their web counterpart, since portions of the applications are downloaded already to the device. You can also install PWAs on the home screen or the launcher. So if you're on a Pixel phone, you can add a PWA to the home screen, which looks like any other app. It'll come with its own custom icon. And then what's really cool about Chrome OS in the Pixelbook or Pixel Slate is when you install them, you also get a unique icon in the launcher. And then what's great about Chrome OS is when you get these applications out of Chrome, the browser, and you get them into their own window, you can start to use the Chrome OS's window manager and virtual desks to their fullest extent. You can have this, instead of breaking out tabs from Chrome, you can have this PWA and this application window over on this screen. Maybe you can dock it to the right, dock it to the left, dock it to the top, dock it to the bottom, wherever you want it. But that Chrome OS window manager just becomes a better experience. And I will say for my money, I much prefer a PWA over a Android app any day of the week. I mean, I just, especially on Chrome OS, it's just so much. Now, I guess I shouldn't say that. I prefer it on Chrome OS. Now on Android, maybe the Android apps are a little bit better because we don't have that Windows management. But if I want to manage multiple applications in Chrome OS, a PWA is the way to go. So there's a little bit of history, a little bit of background, a little bit about what PWAs are. Hopefully you can start to see the advantage. I will tell you, you probably won't appreciate the advantage until you actually try these yourself. So how do we install PWAs? Well, it's very easy, actually. And Google has released a ton of PWAs themselves in the past couple of months. And I've been installing them, as I mentioned, on Chrome OS. But where do you find them? Well, the beauty of this is you simply load up your Chrome browser. You visit a site to have a known progressive web app alternative. More on finding those a little bit later. Then what you're going to find is up in the upper right hand side of the address bar when you visit that site. So if you want to try this now, for instance, if you go to twitter.com and you look at the upper right hand side of the address bar in the Chrome browser, right next to the bookmark tab, you know, that little star that shows up, you're going to find an install option. And it looks like a plus symbol with a circle around it. And I've got those symbols in the show notes if you're interested in that. All you do is you click that plus, and then it installs that progressive web application onto the device. Now, Chrome OS will install the web app and then place an item in the launcher and display the app in its own unique window when you load it. And I've got a picture of that in the show notes too, if you want to see what that looks like. So it's not in the, it doesn't load it in the Chrome browser. It loads it into its own specific window. Now it is a kind of a container for Chrome OS. So if you rely on, for instance, extensions to do something to a specific website, those are still available. So for me, for instance, I use Text Expander as a text expansion tool. I want that to be available in a PWA because I want that expansion to occur if I type a certain string of characters. And it works as a progressive web app. It would not do that on Chrome OS with an Android app. So that's another example of why I love PWAs, because I get to use, for instance, that text expansion capability within a PWA. So it's really a great feature. I do have a in the show notes a link to the Twitter progressive web app if you want to see what that looks like. Or I'm sorry, not a link, but an image. Now, what's great again is that most PWAs will mimic their web or mobile application almost exactly. And to load the PWA, you just simply visit the launcher or the shelf, or you visit your homepage or your home screen on your Android, you tap on it just like you would any other applications, and away it goes. It's that easy. No visit to the web store, as I stated, is necessary. And again, the apps always stay up to date. Now, if you want to remove the PWAs, it's the same as you do with any other application. To remove on Chrome OS, simply right-click and then select Remove. It will immediately get rid of the launcher, but also all of the backend that has been installed on the Chrome OS device. On Android, you can click uninstall. I'm sorry, you don't click uninstall. You hold the button, or hold your finger on the icon. I'll get it right here in a minute. Hang in there, everybody. You hold your finger on the button, and then you just drag it to the uninstall icon at the top of the Android screen. So hopefully I haven't confused you too much there. Again, they work similar to regular applications that we install, but again, provide some unique features that not even their Android counterparts can provide. Now, how do we find PWAs? Well, I'm going to help you out there. There are tons of them out there, and I'm going to first list the PWAs that are available from Google specifically, because they did invent the standard, so we should start with them, I think. And then what we're going to do is I'm going to talk about some other fun or compelling progressive web apps, but one of those is one that will help you find additional progressive web apps. So we'll talk about those in a minute. So let's go through the list of Google progressive web apps that you may not know they're out there. And I might even share occasionally as we go some of my experiences using those progressive web apps. And I will say the first one is YouTube Music. This is the first one that I downloaded and started to use on a regular basis, because on my Chrome OS, I don't have to have YouTube Music in a tab now. I can load YouTube Music, select to download the progressive web app, and then it becomes a part of my windowing. Now, when I have Chrome OS on multiple monitors, which I do on occasions, I'll throw the progressive web app maybe over to the right monitor while I'm working on the left. It works really well. YouTube TV also has a progressive web app, as you can imagine. Google Drive has a progressive web app, and that was really interesting to discover that that was available as a progressive web app. So think about having that in its own window instead of having to have that in a tab in your browser. As you use it, you tend to find out how useful that is. Another fun one that I love is Google Duo. Now, I still use Google Duo as an Android app on my Pixel phone, but on my Chrome OS device, on my Pixelbook and Pixel Slate, the Google Duo progressive web app is awesome. I can launch it just like a regular application. It loads up in a menu. I can full screen it. I can right dock it. I can left dock it. It's really great. So check that one out. That's probably one of my favorite besides YouTube Music progressive web apps. If you are a developer, Google Cloud is available as a PWA. Believe it or not, Google Maps is available as a PWA. That's pretty cool. Now, that would also be good on an Android phone that maybe had a limited footprint or limited memory, because you could load the progressive web app and only use the resources you need to pull down the maps. So that would be interesting on a phone that's maybe older and you just need not constant use of Google Maps, but just occasional use. I would not probably recommend it for navigation, for instance. Google News is another great one that you can have as a progressive web app. I read Google News all the time. I've got that thing tailored where it knows exactly what I'm looking for. It's even allowed me to get rid of some of my RSS feeds because it is so good at knowing what I want to read. So having that as a progressive web app, throwing it to the right screen, throwing it to half a screen while I'm doing other things and keeping an eye on the news is a great tool. Google Photos is another great progressive web app you should look into. You may remember that old website, or it was an application for Android. It was called Google Trips. You know, it was canned, but guess what? It's still available and lives online at trips.google.com. I believe that's the website. The links for all of these, by the way, are in the show notes. So if you want to go check those out and then install them, I make it easy for you. You don't have to go to all those sites. You can just click and install them. But Google Trips now resides as a web page, but also a progressive web app. So on your Pixel phone, if you are upset that Trips left as an application, just go grab the progressive web app, reinstall it. And when you load that, I think you're going to find it's almost like exactly the same thing you had before. It's awesome. If you are a Google Stadia player, game player, the Google Stadia is available as a progressive web app. I don't know a lot about that one because I'm not a Stadia user yet. I keep playing around with it. I'm not sure if I'm ready to go yet. I'm not sure I'm enough of a gamer that I want to do that. So if you are a Stadia user, check that out, the progressive web app for me, and let me know. Around Christmas time, you hear me all the time talk about you gotta track Santa for your family. You just have to do that. And Santa Tracker is available as a progressive web app. So around Christmas time, get ready for that, install that, and you'll have some fun with it. And then one that Pixelbook users and Pixel Slate users are probably familiar with is Chrome Canvas. It's a painting tool that uses your Pixel Pen to simulate true, like a canvas and true art tools. It is a progressive web app. It kind of lives on your Chrome OS device, on your lock screen. You've seen it, but this is a way that you can put it on any device. And what I love about it is anything that you create in Chrome Canvas on one device, if you have that progressive web app installed on another device, Linux, Mac, wherever, Windows, I assume, it will bring those drawings over with you. So if you have other ways to draw on the screen, you can use Chrome Canvas to do that. Those are the primary ones I found from Google that I thought you would be interested in. There are some other developer specifics. I don't know that I have a lot of developers that listen to this show, so I didn't focus on those, but those are some good ones to get started with from Google, the creators of progressive web apps. Now, let's talk about a list, or let me share a list of some other compelling progressive web apps for Chrome OS and Android users that you might enjoy. First of all, Find PWA. No, don't go Find PWAs now. I mean, there is a site called Find PWA that is itself a PWA, which is awesome. I use it extensively in my research, and what it does is help you find other sites that are progressive web apps. So if you find yourself really enjoying these progressive web apps, start with that site. They are curated by type, by popularity, by new. There's a lot of good things there. And I used, again, a lot of my research came from that. So check that one out. Also, Twitter, as I mentioned earlier, is a progressive web app. Stack Edit, which is my Markdown editor of choice. As a matter of fact, I use Stack Edit as a PWA to write the blog post or the show notes for this episode. So it's pretty good. It's a great tool. It's specifically designed as a Markdown editor. If you're not sure what Markdown is, where are you living? First of all, you need to understand what Markdown is if you really want to get an advantage out of tech nowadays and blogging, those types of things, or just writing in general. It's a great tool. So check that out if you have an interest. Now, this was really interesting. As I'm researching, I do this every day for work, especially in COVID. I didn't want to install Outlook, for instance, on any of my computers that could install it, like my Mac. And obviously, I can't install it on my Chrome OS, but I could install the Android app. You know what? I don't even want to do that because the Android app is limited. It doesn't really look good on Chrome OS, but Outlook, Word, Excel, and PowerPoint have a progressive web app to those apps. And it's really good. And you can have separate menus. So it is, again, using the web version of those tools, which I think on a Chrome OS device specifically, it formats so much better on your screen than trying to use an Android app. But use the progressive web app for Outlook, Word, Excel, and PowerPoint. I've got a link in the show notes to get you started there. Now, here's one. I didn't even know this thing existed. And actually, as I was researching or doing research for the show, this didn't pop up in my research. It popped up in, I think it was Google News actually, and said, hey, you might be interested in this article. This is an application or a PWA called SnapDrop. If you're familiar with AirDrop on Mac, where you can take something on your iPhone, you can drop it to your Mac, this will do that for any device. So what it does, you download this progressive web app, you put it on two devices. The progressive web app might be on your computer, let's say your Chrome OS device, and you have it on your Pixel device. So you've got that on your launcher and your home screen on those two devices. You tap on those or start that up, And as long as you're on the same Wi-Fi network, it'll see those devices. And now you can move files quickly back and forth between those two devices. It is pretty amazing. I don't know how or why it's free, but it is one of the most useful progressive web apps I've seen in a while. And I've just started using it and I'm really amazed at the capability. So check that one out. Hopefully that's a new one for you you didn't even know about. If we've got people out there running, biking, driving, and boating, did you know that there is a speedometer that is a progressive web app? How cool is that? Spotify is also a progressive web app. If you are a Telegram user, there is a progressive web app for that so you can stay in contact with your peeps. If you'd like a good emoji creator on your Chrome OS device, because the keyboard is a pain in the neck to bring up for emojis on Chrome OS, there is one called Emoji Typer. It is a progressive web app. You can load that up. You can type, I want the duh sign, or I want smiles, and it'll give you all the options, and it copies and pastes that, and then you can paste that, or copies that, and then you can paste that into the application you want. So that's a good one as well. And if you are an 80s gamer, yes, I am an 80s gamer, Pac-Man is available as a progressive web app. How cool is that? When you get bored, you can play a little Pac-Man. It does. I didn't hook up a joystick to my Chrome OS device to try this, but it works with the keyboard. And I believe on Android, you use your finger to draw the path. I did not test that. I think that's what it said. And then a couple for book writing. If you're into book writing, check out Pencil. It's a great way to write a novel. It allows you to capture your scenes, your resources, your times, your characters. It's really great. And then another one that helps is called Wavemaker Cards, where you can plan and write your novel. And so what we're starting to see is some of these websites that are really useful for highly specific things becoming these progressive web apps. There are lots of other progressive web apps. Those are just ones I thought were kind of compelling. I thought you as a listener might go, oh, I didn't know about that. I have to try that one out. So that's the short list of PDAs for you to check out. If you know some I missed that you think I should have mentioned, make sure you check out the feedback area below in my show notes, so that you know how you can provide feedback. You know what? I'll just go over them now. We won't even do it. We're gonna break format, people. Normally I do that at the end of the show, but I'm not going to do it. I'm going to throw it in here. So if you want to send feedback, you can do that to, you can send an email at steven@pixelpowerpodcast.com. You can leave a voice message by using the Anchor app on your phone or by clicking a link in the show notes. That will allow you to do it. And of course, I would hope that you would come over to the subreddit and join the conversation there. We are starting to get some traction over there. People are starting to participate, which is where I got some of the feedback for today's episode. And then don't forget, you can tweet using the hashtag PixelPowerPodcast, and I'll try and scrub that regularly and see if somebody has left feedback that way. You can also, if you tweet, you can also tag the Pixel Power Podcast if you would like to do that. All right, so there's how you can provide feedback. How about we enter in this episode's addendum? And we have about 12 things here I want to share with you. I will go through them pretty quickly. I want to talk about the last episode, if you listen to it. The last episode was also a YouTube live stream, little behind the scenes. This is actually live right now. I'm recording it. I'm trying to get used to recording live. Eventually, I'm going to let you all know when I'm recording live, but I'm not doing it now because I don't want the distraction of somebody in the chat room. And I'm sure as soon as that first person jumps on there, it's just going to change everything I do, and it's going to frazzle me. But if you would like to know when I go live, you can go to youtube.com/Stephen Combs. You can subscribe there, and then you'll get a notification when I go live. But I probably will continue to try these live episodes for a while, trying to get used to it, understand how it works. Again, it's one of my COVID projects, is to learn more about YouTube Live and how it works. I do have a link in the show notes if you'd like to see the last episode. Also, let's see, Android 11, the developer release version 3, is out in the wild. You know, last year I went out for all of you. I went into, I got into Android 10 at developer 3. I'm sorry to say I'm not going to do that this year. I'm not going to dive in that early because I really need my phone right now. And during this environment, I think you all remember I gave my wife my Pixel 3. So I don't even have a spare right now to install the developer preview on. So apologies for that. We're going to be tracking it as we go and learning about episodes. And when I finally do install, I might do the beta. We'll see how it goes. But Android 11, if you are so inclined to add that buggy version on your phone, version 3 is out, and there's all kinds of tips online on how to get that installed. Google Assistant ran into this feature And again, it's one of those features you probably know about and are saying, Stephen, yeah, we've known about this. But did you know if you say while you're listening to music or a podcast on one of your Google Assistant devices, you can say, hey, Assistant, fast forward 30 seconds, fast forward 10 seconds, fast forward 18 seconds, and it'll move forward. It's a great way to skip commercials. Don't let other podcasters know I said that. And please don't skip the commercials on my podcast. I only have one, and that's just to help offset some of the costs and allow me to buy the gadget so I can get you more feedback. Other Google Assistant news on the Pixel 4, I lamented many episodes ago that as long as I had my Google Education account on there, the Pixel 4 would not allow me to use the new Assistant. And the new Assistant comes with some additional features. As a matter of fact, I'm going to talk about one of those features, but now it seems to be working with my Google Education account. So what's that other feature? Well, one of the new cool features of Google Assistant that I've been using lately is if you are on a web page in Chrome on your Pixel device, you activate the Assistant. For me, it squeezes the sides and you say, read this. The Assistant will move the article to reader mode, so clean out all of the advertising and start to read it. What's really cool about that is you can change the speed that it's reading. You can also put the reader in the background and you can be doing other things while it's reading to you. Google Drive is changing the way that we arrange our files. Rather than duplicating files everywhere, it's using shortcuts. The jury's still out on what people think about this. For me, I don't think it changes much. I'm fine if it's just a shortcut, but other people are saying I don't like it because it's not duplicating. I don't need duplicate copies. I think shortcuts are a fine way, and it's pretty seamless. From what I've seen, it does not change my workflow at all. So if you're having problems with that, let me know why you're having problems. Maybe I'm just not understanding what the problem is. Google Home or Google Assistant devices are finally starting to get sensitivity settings. So if you've got two Google Assistants that are close and maybe one fires when you're closer to the other one, you'll be able to adjust the sensitivity of one so that when you're in closer proximity to the other, that one fires. I will tell you, I am really looking forward to this. I haven't seen it yet. We know it's rolling out, but I have, and this is way overkill, I understand this. I have three Google Assistants in my bedroom and adjoining bathroom. So use case scenario for me is my wife has a small Lenovo alarm clock. I have a Google Home Hub without the camera on my nightstand. And then in our adjoining bathroom, we have a Google Hub that plays music when we're showering or tells us the weather while we're getting ready. Well, sometimes I'll say something to one of those devices and it will activate the other device and it gets very confusing. With being able to change that sensitivity, I do believe I can tune that sensitivity so I can get rid of that random activations. I explain that because that might help you understand why those sensitivity settings could be helpful. Let's see, the Pixel 3 and the Pixel 3 XL are no longer available. They are still available on Amazon, and I have the link in the show notes if you still need to get a hold of a Pixel 3 or a 3 XL. The 3A is still available, though, but the 3 and the 3 XL, Google has nixed them on the store. All the rage this last week, and I thought about saying more about it, but then I thought, no, I'll just throw it in the addendum. The Pixel Buds version 2, can't wait to get a hold of them. I went to order. I was too late. They are no longer available. I did get on a wait list. And since I had to get on the wait list, I went ahead and selected for one of the specific colors that you can get. The white was available for a short time, but now none of them are available. So I unfortunately am not going to get a pair of Pixel Buds anytime soon that I can help share with you on the Pixel Power Podcast. If you ordered a set of Pixel Buds and you'd like to share your experiences with them, reach out to me. I'd love to hear from you. And who knows, maybe we'll even bring you on the Pixel Power Podcast as a guest and you can tell us all about the Pixel Buds. Now that would be fun. YouTube Music is getting some additional features that are starting to roll out. The big one I'm looking forward to are lyrics in our player. YouTube TV is adding live channel support to some Android TV devices. I look for this on my Android TV. I didn't see it. I tried it on my Mi Box. I haven't seen it, but I know I just recently got an update even today while I was talking about this. But what that means is there is an application that lives in the Android TV that says live channels. if you have Pluto, for instance, you can take those live channels, put it into the live channels app, select which ones you want, and then you get that old traditional experience where you change channels and it goes from channel to channel to channel. The unique thing about it, though, is if I have Pluto channels, I can intermingle those now with YouTube TV channels that I want, and I can just bounce through live channels in one app as opposed to going to those two separate apps. And then finally, my last addendum item is kind of related to COVID-19. I have the IKEA Rigid Desk Lamp. If you've not seen this, there is a link in the show notes. And of course, we can't go to IKEA right now. Maybe in a couple of weeks to a month, you'll be able to go back. But it's a unique little lamp. It has a Qi charger on the base. And then depending on which one you get, mine's an older one, so it has a halogen bulb. The newer ones have LED bulbs, and it'll be a desk lamp. And it's kind of stylish. It's modern looking. It's got like a birch base on it. If you're into that mid-century modern, you're really going to love this thing. But the charger on this thing is awesome. It works really well with the Pixel 4 that I have. I come into the office. I start my COVID day. I place it on the charger. It keeps it charged through the day. I take it. I don't charge it at night, but it is really good. In some cases, it's cheaper than some Qi chargers you're going to find, especially the Pixel Stand. But it is a nice device. I just throw that out there because it's another one of those things that it's kind of Pixel related. You know, you're kind of working with it. And I threw it on there and went, wow, why am I not telling more people about this? This is pretty cool. So that completes the addendum. And you know what? That completes episode 46 of the Pixel Power Podcast. I'm so glad that you chose to listen. I know that nobody came on live again. Again, maybe one of these days, if you are interested in listening live, let me know. I'll advertise when I'm live and we will give it a shot. But the other thing is, if we do go live and we start to get some people, what we'll do afterwards is we'll do a little chat room feedback and maybe a little after show stuff, which I think could be fun. Again, thanks for listening. And that concludes this edition of the Pixel Power Podcast.